Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 18 through 23, if it be read again.
Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He hath taken the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Were Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God.
This with other passages we examine today, looking on the subject, God's agents. They are multiple for our benefits. God's agents. They are multiple, that is, they are not just few. They are multiple agents. And they are for our benefits. The "our" there, of course, is restricted to God's people. While that is so, I need to just add right here that God loves and cares for all men and women. Whether you are serving God or not, God cares for you, and He provides for you. And this is what the scripture has in mind when it says that God sends the rain not only on the just but also the unjust. And while that is so, we beg that you be mindful that there are certain blessings that are reserved for the people of God. God's agents, not just one. And they are not necessarily secret agents. An agent is that which or he who acts on behalf of another. That which or he who exert power and or authority with a view to carrying out effect, but an agent always acts for another. In Job chapter 14 and verse 1, we are given an unpleasant truth. The truth expressed by Job in chapter 14, 1 is known to all. Let us hear that passage quick.
Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble.
Now, this is not a pleasant truth. That, in effect, when you talk about man that is born of woman, it's just simply talking about human beings, men and women. And what it is saying, if you're a human being living in this world, you're going to experience challenges, problem, trouble. Now, that is a fact. All adults here are aware of that. And it is not a pleasant fact. So while Job expressed this known and pleasant truth, in Romans 8:28, we are informed of a pleasant and a positive outcome for a selected group of people. In that passage of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28, we are told that, you have it, all things
for good to them that love God.
Read the old verse, therefore, for me, since you have it.
And we know that all things work together.
We know that, brother. We know it.
For good.
It is so established that we don't approach it with hesitation and guesses and whatever. The inspired writer, Paul, said, we know it. And we know what?
That all things work together for good to them that love God.
To them that love God. Wait now. Almost everybody in this audience can claim that you love God. Watch here. That's what we can claim. But what we claim is not always so. And the rest of the verse makes some clarification. All things work together for good to them that love God. Read.
To them that are called according to his purpose.
It is specifically to them who are called according to God's purpose. Who is that, Brother Mitchell? The Christian, the godly, the children of God. What I'm doing here, I contrast two passages. The one found in Job 41, that man that is born of woman going to experience in this life some challenges. I contrast that with the passage found in Romans 8:28. One is an unpleasant fact. Job 14:1, it's unpleasant. The one in Romans is a pleasant truth for men and women who are the children of God. Because what that passage is teaching, it doesn't matter what is happening to you in life. Are we all there? The Almighty God has the power and the interest in working them out to serve your best interest. Christian must keep this in mind. Christian, the people of God, the followers of Jesus Christ, must always be mindful that there is no place. What did you say, Brother Mitchell? There is no place that trials, challenges, problems, and distress can take you or me that Jesus Christ cannot come. Brother Mitchell, I didn't get all of it. Let me repeat it so that you get it this time. Christian, followers of Jesus Christ, must keep in mind, you know, there are certain things, it's good never to forget them. And this is one. That there is no place where trials, challenges, problems and distress can take you where Jesus Christ cannot come. Psalms 139, verse 9 through 10. Let us hear it. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Remember, we are discussing this morning God's agent. They are multiple and they are for your good, the Christian good. Let us hear the passage. Psalms 139, verse 7 through 10.
Whither shall I go?
Where shall I go?
From thy spirit.
From thy
spirit.
Spirit.
Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?
Where shall I flee from thy presence? Are we all there? Notice. Don't move, brother. We are dealing with the fact that there is no place that trials, challenges, problems, and distress can take you or me if we are children of God, that Jesus Christ cannot come. So David is internalizing, in a sense, and expressing his conviction. Where am I going to go and you are not there, God? Read, brother.
If I ascend up into heaven.
If I ascend up into heaven.
Thou art there.
You are there.
If I make my bed in hell.
If I make my bed in hell.
Behold, thou art there.
God, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning.
If I take the wings of the morning.
And dwell
in the utmost
part of the sea.
Part of the sea.
Even there. Shall thy hand lead me?
Shall thy what, brother?
Shall thy hand lead me?
Are we all there? You see, there is no place that trials, problems, and challenges can take us that Jesus Christ cannot come. What verse is that?
Verse 10.
Finish.
And thy right hand shall hold me.
That is, wherever we go, if we are children of God, the Almighty God is able to guide and protect. Step down to verse 14.
I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
And this, the Psalms is felt is reason to praise God.
Amen.
Just the way God has made us.
Amen.
Our composition. He said, we are fearfully. That is, the Almighty God has so designed man that all the other creation on earth has to be afraid of man.
Amen.
Because of the type of intellect he gives us.
Amen.
As strong as the elephant is, his strength is no match for the smartness of human beings.
Amen.
But not only are we fearfully, but he said we are full of wonder. That's what the word wonderful means. You are full of wonder.
Amen.
Do you know even the Greek philosophers who didn't know God acknowledged this? That the world is full of wonder, but nothing is as wonderful as man.
Amen.
And David said, this is reason for men and women who know God to worship God. You see, brothers and sisters, the Almighty God has given us many reasons why we should be worshippers. And one of those reasons is the way we are made. What are you talking about, Brother Mitchell, that there is no place bear trials, challenges, and distress can take us where Jesus Christ cannot come. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 to verse 6, let us hear it.
Let your conversation be without covetousness.
Let your manner of life be without covetousness.
And be content with such
Learn
things.
Learn to be content. Wait. You see, greed is one of the things that brings up some of our stresses. We are not satisfied. It doesn't matter what God does for us. We are always killing ourselves and retarding our peace and happiness for more. The Bible says, let your manner of life be without covetousness and be content. May I? One of the reasons many of us are not as thankful as we are is because we think that God hasn't done enough for us. So we don't think we have any reason to be thankful to God. Give God thanks for the little, and when much come, give him thanks for it also. Be content with such things as you have. Read on, brother.
With such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Wait. This is for the children of God. And that promise is an awesome promise. I will never, as long as you stay with Jesus Christ, he will never abandon you. But you must stay with him. This doesn't cover backsliding Christian. Just Sunday night gone, I think we were talking about there are certain blessings. For example, forgiveness, cleansing from sin that we may commit and don't know, but we still need cleansing. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, which means it continues to do so. But that doesn't apply to the ungodly. What we have just read here in the passage of Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Be content with such thing as ye have. And he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is for the children of God. But there's something else in the verse. Let us hear it.
So that we may boldly say.
How are we going to say?
Boldly.
You see, brother, we don't have to cover our mouth when we are saying certain things. We do not necessarily have to say it in secret. Now, if you say it where you are alone, that's okay. But don't be afraid to say too where a million people are. I will boldly. That means you are not ashamed or afraid to express God's positive reality. I will boldly say, what?
The Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
And I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
I will not fear what man can do unto me. Because man can do only that which God permits him or her to do. Are we all there? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, God's ability and God's resources to help us is unlimited and beyond our imagination. Brother Mitchell, say that again. The ability of God to help us. And God's resources, they are unlimited. But not only are they unlimited, they are beyond our imagination. I like this passage in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. I like that passage. Let us hear it.
Now unto him.
Now unto him.
That is able to do exceedingly abundantly.
I always like, it's a great passage. Now unto him, that is the Almighty God. You know what? He's able to do exceedingly
abundantly.
And abundantly. It's like the Apostle Paul could not find a verb to describe God's ability. Exceedingly. Abundantly.
Above all.
Above all.
That we ask.
That we ask.
Or think.
Our imagination can, even our imagination cannot comprehend and exhaust God's ability and God's resources. Huh? Huh? You know, even in nature, the Almighty God. Have you ever thought of it? That the ocean, the sea, has more resources in terms of food than you can ever imagine. I'm talking the sea. That's right. To feed the world. But here is one of the marvelous things. The food that we use, it's usually cultivated by man. The food in the sea was not is not cultivated by man. The fishes and other. We are not even touching yet, you know, the minerals that are found in the sea. Gold, diamond, copper, name it. The sea. Just the fishes of all sort. It is God who put it there. And the ability of some of the creatures that God placed on this earth is just full of wonders. The expert tells us about the green turtle that lives on the coast of Brazil. The green turtle sometimes weigh up to 850 pounds. It is known for the tastiness of its meat. But you know one of the marvels of the green turtle? It is one of the greatest navigators in the world. The green turtle will leave the coast, sea coast of Brazil, and swim 1,000 miles. To the Isle of Ascension in the South Atlantic Ocean, 1,000 miles to a specific island found in the South Atlantic Sea. It will lay about 100 eggs. Dig a hole, a 2-foot deep hole. Lay 100 eggs or about. Cover it. And you know what? The little dumb, idiot turtle takes its journey from the South Atlantic Island of Ascension and find itself right back to its home in the Brazilian coast.
And you know what? It stayed there in Brazil for 2 or 3 years. And after 2 or 3 years, to lay its head, it takes that same journey again. And it never misses its way. Brothers and sisters, that navigational instinct is from God. That's the time. And watch. Look in this passage in Matthew 6, verse 30. Let me hear it.
Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field.
That's right. I could ask you to read from verse 26, but because I need to cover some ground today, you see, from verse 26, Jesus Christ lists the birds and the this and the that God is taking care of. Huh? And then at verse 30, Jesus Christ is saying, do little reasoning, do little thinking. If the Almighty God takes care of the flowers, of the birds, etc. Listening now, read, brother.
Which today is? And tomorrow is cast into the oven.
Uh-huh.
Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?
Are you not more important? Huh? Are you not more valuable in the sight of God? Men and women, brothers and sisters, in these words, Jesus Christ, as I've said, if you want, when you go home, it's a passage you're acquainted with. Read from verse 26. Because Jesus Christ is reasoning from the lesser to the greater. He takes up the bird and the flowers and the this and the that and point out, as insignificant as they are, God takes care of them. Christ is saying, if you do little thinking, you'll realize that God cares for you even more. And as I've said, if the Almighty God can give that navigational skill to the turtle, will he not guide us? Mm. He will. Brothers and sisters, in God's ability to work for, in God's ability to work out things to help us, we must not limit God or keep a narrow focus on God. And by that I mean, there are two reasons we must not limit God or keep God into a straitjacket. Reason one, God oftentimes uses the most trivial as well as the most awesome and important things. God used the most likely as well as the most unlikely things to carry out his work and his purpose and to help us. You can never guess from what direction God is coming from to bring help to you and to give direction to your life. You can never guess it, because God has so much resources. As I've said, sometimes he uses trivial things. There are times he uses important or awesome things. Sometimes he uses likely things. Sometimes the Almighty God will use unlikely things to carry out his purpose. That is one reason. The other reason is that God has multiple agents. The
passage that was read from the book of Corinthians, chapter 3, 18 through 23. When the Corinthians foolishly, were, Paul belonged to me, and Apollos belonged to me, and dividing themselves, and Paul says, how foolish you are. Why? Paul says, all of them belong to you. But not only all of them. Read a little of the passage for me again, brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Step up. You don't have to start from 18. Step down to about verse 20 or 21, 22 to 23, somewhere there.
And again. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men.
That's right.
For all things are yours.
Don't move from it. Everybody here, Christian, whatever you see in this world, God placed it there to benefit you. May I, on one occasion, controversy came up in the first century church about eating meat offered to idols. The Christians were going to the market, and when they said meat at good price, they saw meat at good price, they buy. And somebody would point out that the butcher would sell that, send some to the idol temple. Well, that didn't affect the Christian, because the Christian was not buying the meat to support idol worship. Now, if the Christian were buying the meat to support idol worship, that is a different thing. They were buying it to eat. Paul said in the passage on one occasion there, he said, eat, asking no question. And then he added this, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. You have it, Michael? Eh? Oh, I thought you had it. The earth is the Lord. That means whatever you see in this world, it belongs to your God. And the fullness thereof means whatever you see in the earth, God placed it here to benefit you.
Huh?
What is the point I was illustrating? The second reason that you must not limit God or keep God into a narrow cage in his resource and his ability to help you. Because God has multiple agents to carry out his purpose and his work for you. Multiple agents. The earth is the Lord. Whatever God put here, it put here to serve our, to benefit us. God has all sorts of agents. They are at God's sovereign disposal. I mean many. And Christians must keep in mind, you see, again, sometimes we put God in a cage. Angels are God's agents. Men and women are God's agent. The devil is God's agent. I need to repeat that. What a great God. The devil, when God has something to be done and he feels that the devil or the devil's angel are the best person to carry it out, God will use them. You want to just wait with me a few minutes and I'll show you that? But I'm going to show you, but let me just list some of God's agents that God used for your benefit and my benefit. If we are serving God faithfully, not only the devil is God's agent, nature is God's agent.
In a few minutes too, I'm going to show you how God used nature to benefit his people. Not only nature, affliction. Woo! Affliction is God's agent. In a few minutes, I'll be showing you how God used affliction to bring David back from total backsliding. Are we all here? But Brother Mitchell, affliction is not good, but God can make its outcome good for us. Affliction, circumstances of all sorts, are God's agent. Trivial things God can use as his agent. Important things God can use as his agent. Likely things, that is things that we think God will use. Sometimes he used those, but unlikely things, things that we think that God will never use as his agent, God used them. God used some unlikely agent in teaching. God's agent. What a resourceful God. Help us, Almighty God, to be mindful of your power and resource. But you know, God used some unlikely agents in teaching. Did I say teaching? Yes. In teaching Jonah that no man or woman can run or hide from God. What type of agent, you say, Brother Mitchell? Unlikely agent. God used to teach Jonah that no man or woman can run or hide from God. May I? The sort of agent God used to teach Jonah that lesson was so effective that Jonah is one man who would never again try to hide from God. Never again. Why, Brother Mitchell? Because the agent that God used was so effective. Are we all there? Are we all there? Let us look at the passage of Jonah. Chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 3. Quick, brother, time is running out on me. Let us hear that passage.
Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah.
Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah.
The son of Amittai.
The son of Amittai.
Saying. Arise and
get
go
up.
And go to Nineveh.
And go to Nineveh. Nineveh at that time was, I think, the capital of Syria. Awesome city. Let us hear it more, brother.
Nineveh, that great city.
Mm-hmm.
And cry against it.
But it was sinful and ungodly.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And sometimes man's sin and ungodliness necessitate that God serve notice to man.
Amen.
That's right. And we must be mindful of that. Read on, brother.
For their wickedness is come up before me.
Uh-huh.
But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish.
No. Jonah didn't know God. And a lot of times we don't know God. And sometimes the things we do, it's because we do not know God. Sometimes our faithlessness, our failure to trust God, believe in God. May I? Brothers and sisters, when you have to put premium time one side to worship God, don't ever think of the friend or relative that you could be socializing with at home. Don't ever think that
at the business place, you could be working a few more $1,000. Because, you see, if you knew God, if you know God, God has dozens of ways to provide for you. When you set premium time aside for God, wait, it's not your time or my time. It is God's time. The time that we spend worshiping God today is not our time. It belongs to God. And when you get up tomorrow morning to go to work and earn, that time belongs to God too. But He gives it to you, hoping that you will recognize His graciousness and His kindness, and as a result want to serve Him. Jonah didn't know God, trying to run from God. God send you one place and you are going another place to run from. You cannot run from God or hide from God. We are talking about God using unlikely agent. Huh? Are we all there? Verse, what you read, brother?
I'm at verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish
mm-hmm.
from the presence of the Lord.
You hear the foolishness? From the presence of the Lord? You know, he didn't need David to tell him that if you took the wings of the morning and fly to the utmost part of the sea, God is there. Talk about running from the presence of the Lord. You can't do that. You cannot take a space vehicle and hide from God. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, they all belong to God. And God knows every particle that is on these planets. But you have to run from God. Foolishness. You're from His presence. Step down, brother, to verse 14 through 16. Quick.
Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, mm-hmm. O Lord,
mm-hmm.
we beseech thee,
mm-hmm.
let us not perish for this man's life,
uh-huh.
and lay not upon us innocent blood.
That's the people who were in the ship with Jonah, you know, when the Almighty God sent the tempestuous sea and the wind, and they realize now that their life going to end. They pray to God. Probably they had never prayed before. They prayed to God. Read on, brother.
For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee.
Mm-hmm.
So they took up Jonah
uh-huh.
and cast him forth into the sea.
Uh-huh.
And the sea ceased from his from her raging.
The sea. you know, the sea here is personified. It is given, it's treated like a person. It is given life. The sea sees from her rages. But all that I gotta walk. You see. The sea sees from her rages. Read on a little further, brother.
Then the men fear the Lord exceedingly.
Then they fear God exceedingly.
And
you know, one of the illustrations I plan to bring is you know, remember where we are, we're talking about the Almighty God has multiple agents at His disposal. Huh? Some of them are unlikely. Some of them are agents that we never dreamt God would use. Amen. And we are seeing it here. Now, what God has just done had such a devastating positive effect on these men. This is just the spin-off of God's work, you know. All that God is doing with the wind and the tempestuous sea was for Jonah. But the spin-off affect these men, that they fear God. Read, my brother.
And offered a sacrifice unto the Lord.
They worship.
And made vows.
And made vows. And made vows. I hope they live up to it. Read, brother.
Now the Lord had prepared a great fish.
Now the Lord had prepared a great fish.
To swallow up Jonah.
To swallow up Jonah. What a way to go.
Brother, what a transportation God provided. You talk about running from God. We talk about God's agent. Watch here. The wind, the tempestuous sea, the great fish, all these are agents of God. And all of them serve their purposes. Are we all there? The wind and the tempestuous sea were used as God's agent. The large fish was also used as God's agent to bring repentance and to transport Jonah to the place where God wanted him to be. Are we all there? Read, brother.
And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
What verse is that, brother?
That is verse 17.
Let me hear verse 10.
Then, when the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this?
Mm-hmm.
For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord,
uh-huh,
because he had told them.
Okay, and now let me have verse of chapter 3, verse 1 through 3.
And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, mm-hmm, arise, go unto Nineveh.
Let me have verse 15 and 7 through 17. I believe I stopped you at a verse there that I need.
So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And the sea ceased from her raging.
Read on.
Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly.
Read on.
And offered a sacrifice unto the Lord,
mm-hmm,
and made vows.
Read on.
Now the Lord had prepared a great fish,
uh-huh,
to swallow up Jonah.
Uh-huh.
And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
Read on.
The end of chapter 1.
Find me the verse where the fish spill him out. I think that's chapter 3.
Chapter 2,
verse 4.
Verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish.
God did what?
Spake unto the fish.
You see, the fish is God's agent. The fish is one of God's agents. The sea, the tempestuous sea, the wind that make the sea tempestuous, all these are agents that God used as a person. What the fish did? God spake to the fish.
And it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land.
I ask the question, I make this, what a way to go. You talk about being transported. You don't have it worse or better than this. I wish we have time to read Jonah's word when he was in the fish belly, but we don't have time. But the fish took Jonah to where God wanted him. Now let us hear 3:1-3.
And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time.
The second time.
Saying.
You see, it was not necessary that God... In fact, don't let God have to speak to us more than once. That's a good lesson to learn. When sometimes you show people truth in the Bible, and they talk like you have to show them a dozen passages saying the same thing before they believe it. If one passage will not convince them, 1,000 will not convince them either. Read on, brother.
Saying, arise.
Mm-hmm.
go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto
you know,
Nineveh.
As we are trying to wrap up here, but as we read, there are so many things here. Jonah, go and preach what you like. Preach what I bid you preach. We have that same command in effect. We must speak as God's oracle. Read, brother.
So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh...
You may stop there, brother. So here, brothers and sisters, the Almighty God used the wind as an agent. The Almighty God used the tempestuous sea as an agent. The Almighty God used the large fish as an agent. All of them carry out God's will and purpose. And look here, all of them carry out God's will and purpose in getting Jonah where God wanted him to be. We'll talk about unlikely. One more and the lesson is yours. Not that the lesson is finished, because I didn't want to come back to this lesson next week. And next week, brother Pounds will be here. So I doubt when I'll get back to this. But just one more illustration. In the multiplicity of agents that guard you. Remember a while ago I told you that among God's agent is, I mentioned angel men, the devils, nature, affliction. No, notice now, in the book of Acts of the Apostles 19, 12 through 16, watch here now. God used evil. God used evil or demonic spirit to correct and punish evil workers. Brother Mitchell, I don't understand. God used spirit that were under Satan's control to correct Obia workers. Let us hear Acts of the Apostle chapter 19. Chapter 19, and from verse 12 following. Quick, brother, time is gone.
So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases depart from them.
May I? Paul, because the Holy Spirit worked in Paul, they received the baptism and measure. There are miracles that they could perform that no other ordinary Christian was able to perform. Then or now, kerchief and other pieces of attire was brought from people and they were healed. Here now, you always have the counterfeit. You have a lot of that today. You have counterfeit church, you have counterfeit doctrine, your counterfeit preachers, name it. Whatever genuine thing God gives to man, Satan gives counterfeit to it. Read on, brother.
And the evil spirits went out of them.
Read on.
Then certain of the vagabond Jews.
The word vagabond mean people who go from place to place. Are we all there? The word vagabond means wandering. Men who go from place to place telling the community that they travel to that they could cast out demonic spirit. And you see, superstition was rampant in those days. That's right. You see, you're lucky. Television and internet drive away some of the ghosts in our time. But my time when I grew up in the country, Dutty and Nene. That's right. You see, it was like the time of power. Superstition. And nothing retards our mind as superstition. I find that a superstitious person who believes in dopey and ghosts and this is the most difficult person to convince that it is foolishness. The of your man and of your woman who tell you that they can do this and do that for you, they are fraud. They are counterfeit. That's right. So a lot of them were in the time of Paul, and we are about to read about something.
Then certain of the vagabond Jews,
exorcists,
took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus.
Evil spirit means spirit that works under Satan control.
Amen.
And when they saw how Paul healed, they want to show that they can do the same thing. Watch here now.
Saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached.
That's right. It's not the Jesus whom they preach. It's the one who Paul preached. Read, brother.
And there were seven sons of one Sceva.
Seven sons. Seven brothers of Sceva, a Jew.
A Jew. A chief of the priests.
Wait. Those are the fraud, you know. It's not the real Levitical priests. But the people who claim that they can read.
Which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said,
Wait, just the evil spirit there. The evil spirit. When I told you that the devil is sometimes used by God as his agent, here you have it. The evil spirit responded to them. What he said?
And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know.
Jesus, I know. You hear, brother and sisters? Satanic spirit know Jesus Christ. You have to know Christ.
Amen.
Read on.
And Paul, I know.
Paul, I know. They know the servants of God. Read on.
But who are ye?
Who are you? You know what I find fascinating here? Satan doesn't even know his own. The evil spirit said, who are you? No, but they are working for you, see it. The evil spirit in the man and these fraud, these counterfeit who are claiming they can cast out evil spirit, they are all working for you. But the evil spirit said, who are you? Read, bro.
And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcome them. And prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded.
They will never practice obiarism again. That's right. And that is due to the agent that God used. God used their own weapon against them. Oh, I wish that I could cast the clock and time to stand still to discuss with you some three or four or five other agents that God used. But suffice it to say, brothers and sisters, that God has multiple agents to use to carry out his purpose and to use to help us. God's resources, they are unlimited. Don't restrict God in the ways that he can help you, guide you, protect you, because God's resources are beyond our imagination. Today, if you're here and if you're not a child of God, you know one of our problems? We are always in hurry. We're always in haste to achieve the things that we want to achieve. And a lot of times we do not wait upon God. We need to learn to be patient while we do what's in our power to help ourselves, to better our situation. Wait upon the Lord. God is never in hurry, but God is never late. If you are here today, You're not a child of God. Jesus Christ asks that in becoming a child of God, man or woman, that you believe in him, that you accept your sinful condition, that sin will lead you to eternal punishment. Sin separates you and God. So you need to believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin. You need to confess, not your sin. You wouldn't remember any of them, all of them anyway. But you need to confess faith in Jesus Christ that you really believe in him. And you need to get baptized for the removal of your sin. Today, within a few seconds, we are going to stand up to sing a song to God's honor and glory. It's a convenient time for you to step forward to give Christ your life. And watch here, watch here. If you're a child of God who has strayed, backslidden, grown weak, please don't feel comfortable in your backsliding state. You are in danger. But right now, Jesus Christ gives you the time and the opportunity to step forward and acknowledge your sin and make a recommitment to Christ. Remember, we pointed out that the passage which says that all things work together for good to them that love God, the passage says that is for those who are called according to God's purpose. Come now. As Jesus Christ calls you, he calls you to fellowship with him. He calls you to forgiveness of sin. He calls you to repentance from sin. As we stand, Jesus Christ.